Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Monday to you. As we come into the Fan Run Studios, John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee, Cam Black. The gang's all here. How are we today? Thumbs up from Ben Lee. Cody?
Doing fine, John. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere.
Okay.
Fresh off of a thrilling weekend. Had a great time this weekend. What about you? How was yours?
You said you had a what weekend?
I had a great time, a thrilling weekend.
Are you being serious?
Yeah.
What was so good about it?
I got laid this weekend. It was fantastic. How was yours?
Mine was good. A lot of yard work. I got a grill.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's basically the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I got a grill.
Did you get to use it?
Yep, we did use it.
What kind of grill?
A Weber.
Gas grill?
Yeah.
Do people
judge gas and versus charcoal? I was wondering about that.
Gas grills is the way to go.
Is gas the way to go? Okay.
I think.
I've seen some of the charcoal ones, but I prefer the gas, but I didn't know if that was frowned upon in the meat community.
The meat community?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that the charcoal grill, people a lot of times like the taste, the flavor the charcoal gives it, and, you know, it's kind of the classic thing.
Okay.
But anybody can have a charcoal grill. Like a big gas grill, you're really kind of flexing on them at that point.
Oh, okay, good.
So I think you did the right thing by getting the big gas grill.
Perfect.
Is it like a massive, like a...
It's a nice grill.
Yeah, I bet it is.
It's a nice grill.
Is it got one of those lids?
But, yeah, you just wait. First fall, a good road game. And come over to the house, watch some football. Maybe a Sunday. Maybe even more of a Sunday thing. You know, watch some NFL football. Get the grill popping.
Throw some steaks on.
Throw some steaks or burgers or whatever.
I feel like on a big, nice grill like that, you only get to do steaks.
Yeah, there's that.
I think you got to get a charcoal grill now for burgers.
I just don't know, like, how we went from – I mean, I don't know how long I can have people over if I'm having to buy steaks every time, though, is what I'm getting at. Like –
Yeah, but if this is you can't put inferior meat on a grill like this. You know what I mean? Like you're done with burgers and hot dogs.
No, I still love burgers.
Hey, you got to get a charcoal grill for those. Get a cheap grill.
You could come over and don't worry about it. I'll cook and you eat. How's that sound?
Unless I'm eating a bone-in ribeye, I don't know.
Your invitation is already received.
I'm just saying, you get a big
Cam,
nice
will you
grill.
Come over and eat hamburgers on the grill? Ben, you can come eat hamburgers on the grill. I don't have to fix you guys steak. You'll just be happy with whatever you get.
No more buying Tyson chicken. You got to buy that organic chicken.
I'm happy with any kind of free meal.
Oh, so it's about the meal and not the camaraderie. Okay. Yes. Forget it.
Hey, I'll come for the camaraderie. I'm just trying to protect your grill.
Okay. You just come and you can watch us eat and you can hang out.
I'll have a filet mignon. I'll bring my own filet mignon.
Yeah, that's fine. You do that.
Lobster tails.
Yeah, so that was cool. That was the highlight of my weekend.
Sounds good.
Was getting the grill. Football season, close. Like, this is the worst week in sports. Like, this week right here is the worst.
This particular week?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, what's going on?
Well, it's July.
It is July. Yes, that is correct.
People are going to the pool. They're taking their boats out.
I'm not talking about what's going on in life. I'm just talking about what's going on in sports. Like, this is the worst week, in my opinion.
In sports.
I think it's the worst week for sports radio this week.
It might be. I don't know. It's what helps next week? What makes it better next week?
Like, next Thursday we could say, August is here.
Camp.
August is here. We've made it.
But when does camp start up? Camp's probably starting up this week. Some, aren't they?
I don't know.
NFL camps, yeah. But still, yet, I mean, you don't get a whole lot of news out of there. You get some headlines.
You just get torn ACL.
Well, yeah, really. So,
don't worry, Cam. I'm not going to give any Falcons players' names and say they tore their ACL. I don't want to create any bad juju. Plus, I've already kind of gone on record. They're my pick to win the NFC this year.
Oh, Falcons training camp already underway. They're your pick to win the whole NFC?
Yeah.
The whole thing.
The NFC.
The whole thing on that side.
Yes, yeah. That whole side.
More so than the Rams, the Saints.
Yep.
I mean, it does seem pretty open in the NFC.
The Falcons are my pick this year. Go ahead and write it down right now.
Bears.
Falcons win the NFC. That's my pick.
I wrote it down.
I don't know. Can you underline it now? Like put a star next to it or something?
That is not either one of the teams that you have on the board.
I'm going to erase it and put it in all caps.
What board is that?
We have the divisional picks board.
I picked the Falcons to win the division.
I have you as the Saints or Eagles coming out of there.
To win the to do what, Ben? The Eagles aren't in that division.
That said they'll play each
other. We haven't made any playoff picks, have we?
Yeah, we did it on May 3rd. We did it on May 3rd. You guys each went through.
I remember doing the division. I mean, I remember making who made the playoffs, but I don't remember. I definitely didn't pick the Eagles. I don't like Carson Wentz.
You've got coming out of the NFC, Rams, Bears, Falcons, Redskins.
Right? Those are to win the divisions. Those are the wild card picks, Ben.
And then we got.
Those other two teams are the wild card picks.
Wild card.
Those next two are the other two playoff teams. I got the Eagles winning the wild card and the Saints.
Yeah. And then your dark horse was the Redskins.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we didn't pick, like, playoff yet.
No.
We haven't picked, like, who wins in the playoffs. I was going to say, I did not pick the Eagles to go to the NFC Championship.
I was like, this is one of the more, like, detailed notes I've got. It's got division picks.
And you still didn't, you forgot the wild card part.
Well, it's all, you know, segmented. I just didn't see the wild card above the section.
Don't try to put me on record as saying, A, accusing me of being a phony, saying now I'm saying the Falcons winner. Earlier, you were talking about the Saints and Eagles. No, I wasn't. Those are my wild card picks. Falcons, that's my pick to come out of the NFC. Just write it down.
It's written.
Underline it. Star it.
Should I write that on here?
You want a star on each side?
Star on each side. Whenever I take notes or make sales notes or, you know, I didn't really do it in school, although sometimes it's like, hey, this is going to be a test question, I'd put stars on both sides. So maybe.
How about a fading underline?
No, fading.
As in it, just, you know, long underline and then a little shorter, a little shorter, a little shorter. Underline it four times.
I got you. I thought you meant you were going to start underlining and then just, like, pick the pen up a little bit and let it fade as you got to the end. I was like, that seems weird.
That's odd.
So I should put NFC champ Falcons?
I mean, that's not a board bet or anything. That's just a prediction. But if you want to, you can go for it. I'm not going to back down from it unless, like.
Do you want to go ahead and put an AFC up?
Unless, like, Julio Jones tears his ACL in the preseason or something.
Oh,
like,
no.
I bet $100 on the field.
I mean, yeah.
So you're not too confident.
I mean, they're like 15-1 to win the NFC. If I was going to do that instead of betting even money with you, I could go get
15-1.
Yeah.
All right. You pay me $15 if they don't win. If they do win, I'll pay you $100.
That's 6-1.
I know, but it's got that number in there.
It did have the number 15 in it.
Good value. You get $100 if they win the Super Bowl. Otherwise, you owe me lunch. We did it with the Titans last year. I don't think I ever got paid, by the way.
I paid it forward to the money you owed Trey Wallace. We've already discussed this.
I never owed him anything.
All right, so you got camp going on, so that's cool. The Falcons going to camp. Hopefully there's no big injuries now that I just made a big point to say that's my pick to win the NFC. And, you know, today we get a little bit of a brief mention of the British Open, right? Because, I mean, that was a runaway.
Was it Koepka? I didn't even see what happened.
Oh, no, it was not Koepka.
No.
Koepka, he found himself mad on Sunday because he was playing with a really slow player. And that has to be a terrible feeling, like if you're Brooks Koepka. You're already, like, you're not really in contention because Shane Lowry is just ahead of everybody by so much. But Brooks Koepka came in like, hey, I'm going to try to get into a rhythm and play, and he comes out and plays with J.B. Holmes, who is a really slow player. And not only is he a slow player, he was also playing very poorly on Sunday. So Brooks Koepka is just kind of stuck in the mud and shot a 74.
When you say slow, you mean he's behind mentally or?
Well, I just mean that he is, as Brooks Koepka put it, like, it's one thing to not put your gloves on before you get ready to hit.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to, you know, not get your club out and stuff. He's like, but when, or to take a while getting your club out. He's like, but when you don't do any of that stuff until it's actually your turn to hit, it just adds so much time. So he's waiting, like, until it's actually his turn, right? Mm-hmm. And then he'll take and he'll put his glove on, get his club, do his practice swings. And by then, it's probably been 2 minutes.
Maybe he is actually a little slow.
He might be. But it was hard for Koepka to get into a rhythm, and he shot a pretty poor round on Sunday, which didn't really matter. He still finished in the top five, which is another top five finish for Brooks Koepka. But Shane Lowry ran away with this thing, shooting a 63 on Saturday.
Did you have a rooting interest in this?
I did my pool picks. My picks were pretty good, all things considered. I mean, I feel like I had a pretty good performance. My method was to pick all foreigners because, you know, it's the British Championship. That was my line of thinking. I was like, maybe they play in Europe more than the Americans. I don't know. I was like, I'll just go pick all the foreign players. So I did that. In my tier one, I picked Rory, you know, Irish. They're playing in Ireland.
You knew he'd have a good showing.
My guy Molinari. I always pick Molinari, which, by the way, had a hell of a round on Sunday. He was like the only guy, one of the only guys who played well on Sunday. I picked, who else did I pick? I picked Stenson, and I picked Alex Noren. And long story short, I guess it's already been a little bit longer than I wanted it to be, so medium-sized story, wrap it up. I picked all foreigners, except I didn't realize that Shane Lowry was Irish. Because I would have picked an Irish guy, because I had picked Rory for that reason.
And you would have picked up Shane Lowry later, right?
If you had known. Yeah, you get seven picks, and, like, you know, golfers basically outside the top 30, you pick four of them. And Shane Lowry's outside the top 30, and if I'd known he was Irish, I definitely would have picked him, and who knows, maybe I would have made some money. Because I was doing the whole foreigner thing. But
he was, what was his odds to win?
250-1.
Oh, man.
I also would have liked to have known he was Irish then. I might have sprinkled a little couple ducats on that.
You should just, next time you should just go through and look at all the flags.
I know, but that's a confusing thing because I look at the flags afterwards.
Did you not know the Irish flag?
Well, this might make me sound like a dumbass. But Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy don't have the same flags next to their name. What's the deal there?
Maybe one of them's from Northern Ireland.
Is that the thing? So is Ireland split up that way with flags?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
I'm 86% confident in that.
I mean, because, like, Rory is from that city, right? Like, that Rory was playing in basically his hometown, and he played so terrible on Monday. He was awesome on Friday.
Is Northern Ireland considered a different country now?
When Wikipedia, Rory McIlroy, it says from Northern Ireland, so.
Yeah, it has a different flag than Ireland.
Okay.
The Irish flag is easy to spot. Everybody knows that one. The flag of Northern Ireland looks kind of like the Swiss flag, except
yeah.
It's got a logo thing in the middle.
Okay, here we go. So we learned a couple things this weekend.
So Northern Ireland is its own country.
Yeah, so I had a little rooting interest there, although when I didn't have Shane Lowry, you know, like that all went to bed on Saturday, right? If you didn't have him in your pool and he's blowing everyone out, you're not going to win.
So Northern Ireland is still part of the UK. Ireland is completely separate from the UK now.
Okay.
No, it's not. No, so it's not its own independent country.
Fair enough. That was Talking Geography and Maps and Flags with John and Cody. We'll be back on the other side.
Dice is on the beat.
Back on the program. Good weekend, though? Thumbs up? You good?
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah. Ben's taking
besides Ben taking a shot at you. I don't know why
he's taking a shot at my car.
I know. It was a really weird.
It's not a shot at the car.
It was
it's
a really weird return into the show because, like, right before the mics came on, Ben just car shamed Cody. And
it's not a shot at the car. Like, I don't think my car would make it. I could see
the pain in Cody, or not really the pain, just the offense that Cody took in it. Like, wait a second. What?
It just seems like an older car. Just like, you kind of talk
an old car.
It's
like
no,
it's like 2011, 14. Nah, it's like an 11.
Okay,
I mean it's
that's 8 years old. That's old for a car.
It's got some age on it. I mean,
you said it had 150,000 miles on it. Like, that's a pretty good amount of miles. Like, I wouldn't want to take that
You acted like it's a '96 Corolla.
I'm just saying I wouldn't take it on a cross country trip. Like, just like I wouldn't take
anywhere.
Like, my car only has like 80,000 miles on it. I would not take it across the country.
Congrats on the car, man. Jeez. Coming in the break, I was talking about going out to California, and John's like, are you taking your car? Are you going to rent a car or something? I was like, we may rent a car. And Ben's like, I wouldn't take that piece of junk out there.
That's not what I said.
That thing's going to break down on you in Kansas.
I just said I wouldn't take my car out there.
You're car shaming here.
I'm sorry it happened.
I don't have a Lexus, Ben, like you.
Yeah.
I don't have a Lexus.
Yeah. I've seen what's out there in the parking garage.
I was ready to come back into the show, kind of see how we're going to stumble our way through this Monday. Because like I said, this is the worst sports week on the calendar. Like, that was my British Open coverage there. Shane Lowry, really good, dominated.
We don't have any content, so let's just make Ben look like a jerk.
I didn't.
Don't be a jerk.
First of all, no one made you look like a jerk. You're the one who said it. And Cody did look a little offended.
I mean, it's a decent car. It's a Honda Accord.
There's
no leather seats. It doesn't.
I don't
have
like
leather
seats.
They make your legs sticky.
Yeah, I don't like the leather seats. If you could ask me if I'd rather have leather or cloth seats, I would say, you know what, give me the cloth.
I'd still rather have leather. I mean, it's much nicer,
easier to clean. I get that. It's just I don't like the feel of it.
I mean, this time of the year it can be
a
bit difficult with the heat.
I mean, in the winter it's bad, right?
Cold. Yeah.
Get the seat warmers.
I mean, some people are, you know, kind of weak.
I mean, really cool for Shane Lowry to win, right? I mean, that's obviously a big accomplishment to, you know, come from 250-1 odds. His mom bet on him at those odds. I believe she said she put, was it 50? 50 euros on him to win, maybe? At 250-1, so she had a nice little payday.
Oh, congrats to mom! 250-1, yeah, that would be a nice payday.
And then to see your son just come out and dominate.
What does that check out on the math if you put down 50 euros? How many euros you get back on that?
You just be like U.S. dollars.
Yeah, was that like $4,000? Nah, it'd be four. Well, that's more than. That'd be. Is that right? $4,000?
I believe that'd be 200-1 odds, right? So if it's 250-1, it'd be $5,000, right?
I think
five thousand euros, which I guess be like what, like $8,000 maybe? I don't know what the exchange rate is right now.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's right. That'd be 5,000 euros at 250-1. I think. Is that 50,000?
12,500.
Jeez.
12,500?
Yeah.
Well, 5,000 is 5,600, so let's see.
God, that was embarrassing. You're so bad at math.
14,000 U.S. dollars.
That's why I asked
you. And 14,017 U.S. dollars and 85 cents.
I'm so mad because I let you convince me that it was 5,000.
I was really just trying to push it off on you. Like, what is it actually?
I know, but I was mad because I was doing that math in my head. I was like, 12,000. And then you kept talking about 5,000. So then I was like, wait a second, what? And then I was
It didn't sound right. It didn't feel right.
There we are. I believe that would be 20-1 odds. Or if you put $20 on it, excuse me, at 250.
That should have been easy math because we should have thought if she put 100 euros, very clearly that'd be 25,000, right? So we should have just cut that in half.
Yeah.
That was actually pretty easy math.
Yeah.
Yeah. You really dropped the ball on that one.
I'm not taking the blame on that one. You're the one who came out saying 4,000.
I mean, people expect me to not be good at
math. I know, and sometimes you do drag me down. Sometimes it is a crabs in a barrel type of situation where I go to crawl my way out and be smart, and you pull me back in like, hey, be dumb with me. Be dumb with me. Come down here. Hey, where are you going, crab? Get back in that barrel. At times like this, I'm scared to, like, read the internet's comments of the show. A lot of people just calling us dumb, stupid.
Why? Because
we can't do simple math. I but mean, again, we know how to do the math. Cody just laid it out there for you. A 100-to-1 would have, or a $100 bet would have been 25,000. So we know how to just time, you know, divide that by two.
That's a sad thing. I actually even knew the math. I knew it in my head. People think it's so easy. You come on here and do live radio and see if you can do math on the fly.
Come do a spelling bee with us, tough guys.
I'm not saying
and
the
girls.
I'm not saying the talking in the microphone part is hard, but if you got to sit here and think on the spot,
you know how many words are out there that you don't know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of words out there that you don't know. You got to think of something, you got to think, is this the right one? I don't know. Just grab something closest cuz it sounds better than 6 seconds of silence as you try to think of what word to use.
Yeah. Average guy would just freeze up. Not us. We talk through it.
Wow. We are legends.
It's okay to be wrong.
Yeah.
At least you're talking.
That's right.
At least there's noise coming through the speakers.
Just bloviate, baby.
That's right.
I'm excited today to have the return of one of my favorite segments as Cam's Marvel movie reviews come back. That was a huge winner over the weekend. The Marvel movies are back, baby.
Wasn't Avatar officially passed?
Yep.
By the
so they got to flex a little bit, like, hey, move over, Avatar. Oh, by the way, here comes 11 more.
Well, why was Endgame so big if that was supposed to be the end?
I think it just represented that that chapter of the book, basically.
So
there's four,
really,
four chapters, is that right? Phase four, they call them phases, right? Are there four phases or five?
They're going into phase four now.
Is it, but there'll be more after phase four. So this will be never ending. Never mind. There'll be a million phases.
They called it the Infinity Saga.
As long as they keep making. Did Spider-Man do big box office numbers?
970 million.
Oh, wow. So it's already over close to a billion. So, like, yeah, as long as everyone keeps lining up to watch all these movies, they're going to keep bringing out the phases. So the Infinity phase is what ended with Endgame.
I guess that's a smart way to just keep your cash flow rolling in.
Yeah.
Just call it Infinity.
Never
end.
Yeah. Keep going and going and going.
That kind of, I think I'd want an end. I thought that's what this last thing was. It was an end to the whole thing.
Man, it was to that story, but now we're rebooting. Now we got, like, different actors and new characters, right? I mean, I saw where Blade's coming back. Like, that, okay.
Cam's
some more Blade movies?
Cam's going to be 90 years old, like the guy in Halls. Like, I'm tired of this, Grandpa. That's too damn bad. We're watching another one.
Stanley Yelnat.
Eventually, it's going to be too tough for people to catch up and marathon these, though.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you're getting ready to get left. It was already too daunting of a task for me to do, and I only needed, like, 8 movies before. But now, like, I got to make the decision. Am I going to keep waiting? Because then I'm never going to be able to hop in. And I got a feeling these things are just going to keep going and going and going and going and going.
I might just be lazy because I had like 3 and I just stopped. Like I was like, yeah, I'm good.
That was one of the bigger stories of the weekend was the Marvel movie announcement. Shane Lowry, a big winner, winning the Open in Ireland. Really just, you know, dominating. Played good on rounds 1 and 2 on Thursday and Friday. Came out on Saturday and played a back 9 that was about as good as you could play. Came out and shot a 63, and at that point you realized, hey, okay, it's time to go home. That back 9, he had 5 birdies. Shot a 30 to really just put it away. No one ever really had a chance going into Sunday, which kind of made it anticlimactic. But the ratings are probably going to be bad on this. I don't know what we're going to attribute it to because, you know, Shane Lowry is somebody you don't really know, although you can kind of appreciate the story of kind of a no-name Irish guy winning a championship in Northern Ireland. Obviously, Tiger got cut. Rory got cut. Those are some big names. Phil got cut. And, oh, yeah, by the way, it's airing at, like, what, 4 a.m., 5 a.m.? By the time you wake up, I mean, the you know, some golfers have already gone. The time change makes it tougher to watch. I got a feeling these rains are going to be terrible, though. Although, we'll see. All right, what do you want to talk about next? You want to get into some football?
We could get into football if you want, like Tennessee football or what?
Just any type of football. What do you want to talk about?
I saw that
the USA Today,
the Tennessee football program had a resignation.
Okay. We'll talk about that resignation next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, you said we got a resignation on campus football program. Hit me with it.
CJ Faton has stepped down as the director of VFL programming at Tennessee after being in the position for 14 months. Apparently, he's going to pursue other career opportunities. CJ Faton, hired by Fulmer. He was a receiver here from 02 to 05. Fulmer brought him in to head the VFL program, which I didn't even realize was still a thing.
It's still a thing.
I knew it was under Derek Dooley. That's when it started. And then it was, who was the guy? Antone Davis?
Yep.
Who was running that.
He resigned towards the end of Butch Jones' tenure and said he's not going to work another second under Butch Jones, basically.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
It's like, hey, I've been bullied. I've been – remember they made him drive back from Georgia Tech.
They wouldn't let him ride the bus. I do remember that.
Yeah, that was a scandal. I think people were mad because that's a guy, you know, who's played at Tennessee. You're supposed to take care of those guys. But also I think we just wanted to be mad about everything at that point. But, he resigned in 2017, and, you know, over the last 14 months, Faton has worked there in that position.
I didn't even realize that position still existed or that Fulmer had hired C.J. Faton to do it until reading this story that he's now apparently resigning. I wonder why he's quitting.
To pursue other opportunities.
Well,
I mean, I don't know. That doesn't – does VFL coordinator seem like something you would want to do for a long time? That seems like that would get pretty old pretty quick.
I mean, what are the job duties in that? Just calling up old players and scheduling what games for them to come see?
That, you're supposed to, I mean, continue to help them with, like, career and professional development.
Yeah, like the program is set up to basically be life after football.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how long does that last?
It just, I don't know. I don't want to say you would seem like a, when I see this job, I think of like a guidance counselor. That's kind of what I think of. Guidance counselor in high school that's trying to help you, like, oh, here's where you're going to go to school. Here's what you're going to do. Here's a job you could maybe get.
Like an advisor in
college. Yeah, an advisor in college also. Like, it just doesn't seem like something that you would want to do for a long time.
I mean, it seems like it would get pretty old, doesn't it?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know what the salary would be.
I mean, you still got guys who played, like, in the 90s who can't hold jobs coming in, and they're like, hey, think you could get me on over at the chicken plant? Yeah, let me call and see what I can do. I mean, is it?
Yeah, I don't know if it's that. I don't know if it's like that. They're trying to, you know, just help everyone with job placement. If you ever wore the orange and white, like, hey, come in. We'll try to find you a job. I don't know if it's like that or if it's for basically, hey, we're going to make sure you are treated properly when you want to come to campus. Like, hey, come by and check out the facilities. We'll try to help you with games the best we can. That would be the worst part, right, is having all these people wanting game tickets, and you're like, hey, we only have so many of these to give out. I can't get you on the sideline for Florida.
Yeah, and, like, what is the cutoff? You know what I mean? Is it every former player? Yeah.
Come on, man. You never made any tackles here. You can't get on the sideline.
Like, if our guy Charles Folger, if he calls him up, what are they going to do if Charles calls him up?
I don't know. Maybe we should call Charles and find out.
And is there a certain date they cut it off? Is it like 1990 or something? Or is it just guys from the Fulmer era and beyond? I mean, like, let's say some older guy played in the 70s.
No,
right?
Man. It's not Vol for the last 30 years. It's Vol for life.
Oh, that's a good point. Let's say some older guy who played like in the 70s and he's having trouble holding down a job. And you got like a 65-year-old man coming in like, hey, I need work. mean, they can't possibly support all these guys, can they? It's a lot of different players who have worn the orange.
It seems like a stressful gig, and I think that might be why you saw a resignation.
Hey, I've been on the phone with Haynesworth. He needs a kidney. Like, are they having to help with that, too? Think about how many guys must have health expenses and things of that nature. It would be a stressful gig.
And you got to be friends with everybody. You got to be friends trying to help them. Like, you got to be the good cop. And then, you know, I can't imagine if you have to go get something signed off on by Jeremy Pruitt that he's dropping what he's doing to sign off on this. Like, Butch Jones, obviously, you know, he's related to this story because of Davis. He would be the opposite. He would be wanting to micromanage everything and making things uncomfortable. I would just imagine the people over in charge now probably weren't caring too much about this. It's a good theory. It's a good program in theory. I do wonder how the application of it goes. Maybe this is where we lack by not being a VFL. Maybe we could give you some of our own insight, but we don't have any.
Yeah, we're not VFLs. You'll have to call up Ainge for that.
I've never actually talked to anybody on campus since I left. Like,
yeah, me neither.
They just mailed me my diploma, and I haven't spoken to anybody since. I keep waiting for a call like, hey.
You want to come speak to a class?
Yeah,
or
like, you know, you've been pretty successful, you know, coming out of this program. You want to come talk to a class or something? Like, I've been waiting for that invite, never gotten one. And then, like, last year, Lucas Panzeca got one. I was like, wait a second, hold on. Lucas? Oh, you know I love Lucas, but...
Oh, they asked Lucas to
go back
to
class? Yeah, Lucas went back and talked last year.
You know, I actually heard from a source over there that I was once referenced as being one of the guys who kind of made it with the college radio station.
Okay.
And I was referenced in the same breath as, like, the John Wilkerson, Mike Keith, guys like that.
Yeah.
So... I mean, I took that.
How'd they feel after the whole Sister Jean thing? Did they?
I think
still,
it was after that that
they,
I was mentioned.
Were they still boastfully talking about your time there?
Like, you know, now that you bring that up, it's funny you mention that because I did have a professor over there who I was really close with.
She turned her back on you?
Who she kind of hasn't talked to me since that. And she used to ask me, like, she would send me job opportunities through email and things like that, and she would
she
be
doesn't
like,
want to be attached to you anymore.
She would kind of ask, like, hey, how are things?
She has unhitched her wagon from your star.
Yeah, seems like she kind of has. And she probably would have let me speak to one of her classes. I'm sure that would have been asked by now.
I'm not going now, so, like, if anybody's listening and they invite me, I'm going to turn you down because whatever. I don't need your pity, but I was always kind of like, I don't know, award-winning radio host. Sure, you know, my attendance and grades weren't great when I went through your program, but I mean.
But you didn't actually go through like, the
communications
radio
program.
I mean, you were in the building.
I was in the building, yeah.
Yeah. You got the same.
I'd come talk to like the MassCom 175 or whatever. Like, I mean.
Well, they have a gym 175.
Okay, that. It's the like, gym. Yeah, I can go do that. Like, hey, I took this class. And,
why didn't you do the journalism and electronic media one?
Because I didn't want to be a journalist.
I know, but that was like the end of the college radio thing. I guess you did it anyway.
I mean, the one class I had to have an internship. So, I mean, that's how I got into the college station. But, I mean, like, I knew I didn't want to do anything in journalism. So, I was like, this degree's already kind of pointless with the communications degree, but, like, at least I can sell it to my dad and mom that, like, hey, it's not just for radio. I can, you know, get a marketing job with this thing.
You could get a PR job or something.
Yeah, like I was like, this is more versatile. That was my line of thinking.
Isn't that the same degree? I think you have the same degree Peyton Manning has.
Yeah.
You?
And we're both very good speakers.
I mean, when you look at...
You see him on Saturday Night Live and, you know, him doing his comedy on ESPN and his new series, and then you see me here on Talk Sports, like, yeah, we were molded by the same people.
Pretty similar.
Yeah.
Backgrounds.
Yeah. We both got big heads. Literally.
Yeah, that's a fact.
He's got a big head. I got a big head. His got a little bit bigger after the whole HGH thing. Which I don't know if that's true. I'm just the whole accusations really opened up the line of questioning. Is wow, this head has gotten a little bit bigger. There is a little bit of Barry Bonds going on here. A little Barry Bonds.
No, that was Alyssa's or Allison's or
Allison's. I think her name. It's 100% not Alyssa.
Whoever the hell his wife is.
Allison sounds right.
Allison, Alyssa.
I don't
they both
know
sound.
It is
thing.
Not Alyssa. It is not Alyssa.
Alexa, whoever it is. What can I help you with?
Ashley.
Nah, pretty close. Yeah. I knew it was A-S-L, something like that.
Yeah. Age, sex, location.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I think so of when I hear an ASL.
She was taking the human growth hormone, not Peyton.
I was just pointing out that we both have big heads. Literally, not like in the, oh, they're so arrogant type of way. I just mean the, his, got a five
as
head.
As in, you can't get a hat to fit.
We're, Peyton might be in the eight club. I'm just a 7 3/4 guy. He might be in the 8 club. When he goes to get a fitted hat, he might have to go into the 8s.
I don't even think he could fit in an MRI machine. If you had to slide him in, like if he had something wrong with his head and you had to do a scan, I don't think you could get him in one of those. Imagine him trying to get in a tanning bed or something like that. You know?
Do you think he ever calls the VFL coordinator?
Absolutely.
Does he just like go, who did, like, does Peyton have to, was Peyton hitting up CJ Fate and like, hey, I need you to take care of this for me, or is he just like going above his head?
CJ, feels like, Peyton.
Feels like he's going above CJ Fayton's head, right?
I'd like to come back to campus. You think CJ Fayton was getting mad because Peyton never went through him?
Maybe. Maybe that was what the frustration was. I would imagine, like, all jokes aside, that there is some jealousy. Maybe not a toxic jealousy, but there's probably a little bit of a, hey, Peyton gets treated a lot better than we do.
Oh, I'm sure that a lot of the other players probably feel that way. But, I mean, he's the most famous former player.
I mean, you see that in the discussion all the time when it comes to T. Martin, right? Like, hey, we run Peyton Manning guy here.
Well, maybe T. Martin should have made an NFL career for himself.
Another guy has a national championship, and, you know.
Maybe T. Martin should have done commercials with Brad Paisley and played a guitar.
Those commercials are good.
Yeah.
I like those commercials.
Maybe T. Martin should have had a brother named Eli and a dad named Archie. I mean, he can't help it, but.
Did Eli help Peyton? Would Peyton have been as famous without Eli?
Yeah.
As famous?
Maybe not as famous, because it started to become more of a family thing, I think, when Eli won that Super Bowl with the Giants.
Right, like the Manning brothers were always a part of the conversation.
Once Eli cemented himself.
I mean, like, even going into the draft, they were doing, like, goofy little videos. Like,
yeah, I would even say even after he submitted himself. I'd say when Eli was the number one pick in the draft, like, yeah. That was enough to kind of – I mean, obviously, it's elevated Eli. Obviously, if Eli's last name wasn't Manning, he would have probably been benched a couple of seasons ago. But did it help Peyton? I think so. The pranks, the, like you said, there's the Sports Center commercial, like all that stuff.
I mean, like, they did that, like, going into the draft, they had, like, Peyton, like, interviewing Eli, mm-hmm. but, like, not as himself, you know? He's
right.
Like, your brother Peyton has been doing this for a long time. Like, they say you're not as good in the film room. Like, what do you think that your strengths are compared to him? Like, they talked about, like, tennis or something like that.
Yeah. I'd say it's helped. Obviously helped Eli more.
I tell you, the thing about the Mannings, their careers do not age gracefully. I mean, because
Peyton hit a wall.
Peyton was bad at the end. He got lucky because he got to go out with the Super Bowl. But
sure.
But Eli's, man, they hit a wall. He's just not good anymore.
Yeah.
He needs to be out of the league yesterday.
Yeah. Tweeter writes in asking if they're helping Matt Crowder in the VFL program. Do you get kicked out if you get a criminal record? Like, gang scandal? Like, hey, sorry, you're not a VFL anymore.
I think when you're kicked off the team, you're not a VFL.
Okay.
Are they helping Dante Stallworth? Do you think they helped him through his manslaughter charges?
There wasn't a VFL program then, so probably not.
I mean, do you think it includes, like, criminal stuff and health? And probably not. It's probably just like, hey, I know a guy here. Maybe he can hire you.
What a weird segment.
It's kind of like it's kind of like a temp agency, basically, isn't it?
Maybe.
We can get you on down at the bread
company. We need to find out. We need to see. Can you, you might be able to go to, like, Indeed or something like that to see, like, what the job opening actually lists, like, what your duties are.
Why don't we just
go
call
into,
them?
Like, LinkedIn?
I mean, we're able to do that when, like, the Sports Animal was hiring their radio host. Like, they put a listing up, like, hey, you must understand our relationship with the university and make sure you help foster that relationship, yeah. AKA, you got to come here and be very, very positive because we get paid by the university. You have to help protect that. They had to put all that stuff in their actual listing. So maybe with the VFL coordinator, we can get, like, a breakdown of what your duties are.
We should call them and tell them we're looking for jobs. Just call in and make up a couple of names, like some guys that used to play here.
Oh, okay, yeah.
and just tell them we're looking for jobs.
Yeah.
See if we can get through.
I mean, you're kind of VFLs.
I mean, went to school there.
Yeah. Once you're a Vol, you're a Vol for life.
We have degrees.
I don't think it's meant that way. Like, in their line of thinking, I think you actually have to be a letterman. They probably don't even help the walk-ons. You have to
It's only football, too, right? I mean.
Cam's got some credentials. Okay. Cam.
Call him up.
Apply. Like, hey, you guys hiring? Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Keep an eye on that job list. We'll see what happens when it gets posted. Maybe we'll get some details on it. We're closer to football. We're closer. Another day, more weird Jarrett Garantano stats that came out. Did you see those? About how he is one of the best in the country at limiting turnover chance plays.
He's getting a lot of accolades for things that are just very obscure.
Well, look, I mean, it is a important distinction when you are a quarterback to protect the ball. I mean, that is a stat that makes sense. Fewest turnover worthy plays, SEC quarterbacks, minimum of 175 dropbacks. Jarrett Garantano only had four fewest turnover worthy plays, basically bad throws or fumbles. Four of them.
Okay. So he doesn't turn the ball over a lot.
But we already kind of knew that, right? In terms of, I mean, his interception total is low. It was 12-3, right? Isn't that what it was? 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions?
Mm-hmm.
So we knew that was low.
I also saw where he's the highest rated current college quarterback that happened to be born in the state of New Jersey.
Okay.
So that's good.
Is that actually true?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like there's got to be a couple other.
No, that's true.
And I don't know if I believe the stat either, by the way, in terms of only like passes that had high percentage chances of being intercepted. Or like a fumble. I mean, because, I mean, I feel like if he threw 3 interceptions, you mean to tell me, like, all of last year he didn't have one ball that was like, oh, yeah, that probably should have been picked but was dropped?
That seemed like it happened a couple of times.
I mean, it seemed like there was a couple of those instances.
Who comes up with all this stuff?
Pro Football Focus.
Are they actually sitting there watching, like, every play that happened? And
I'm sure some people are. I mean, that's what they do. I mean, that's what they probably do year-round, I would think.
Their whole thing is every possession, every play. Like, every player, every play.
Like, they're just sitting there watching everything.
They say they take one player, and they analyze what he does on every specific play, and they grade him on a grade of, like, did he do his job, did he go above and beyond, or did he not do his job?
Who's got a staff that big?
Pro Football Focus.
I'm not buying it.
That they watch every play.
And if they do have a staff that big, most of that staff can't be trained to know what's going on.
It does seem like it would take a very big staff to get through that. Although, I mean, the offseason's what, like 200 days? 180 days? At least 200 days? Just go through a quarterback a day. Although somebody's got to cut up the film, right? Like where,
right.
I mean, if you cut up all the film where it's just play after play after play, it probably wouldn't take that long. But, I mean, the stat isn't really telling us anything new in terms of his high percentage throws. We know that he's too careful with the ball, right? I mean, we've talked about that. Now, we also, like, have to account whenever we compare, like, his stats like this to quarterbacks who threw the ball more and played more games. But if you're looking at the positives of this quarterback, when you look at Tennessee's football team in 2019, one of those should be that you don't expect many turnovers, right? Which also maybe raises the question up, because we always talk about the turnover battle, right? Win the turnover battle. How many games did Tennessee lose the turnover battle in last year? Do we know? Like, I mean, were they – I mean, obviously the Florida game, you lost that turnover battle and you got drilled. Because that's always one of the stats we look at when we talk about football is win the turnover battle. Now, I'm not sure how many turnovers Tennessee was actually forcing last year. I didn't really think of that defense as a ball hawk. As a ball hawking defense, right? I mean, I guess Kentucky they were. I guess Kentucky they forced some turnovers, and of course they won that game.
Certainly not against Georgia or Florida or West Virginia or Alabama.
I think we won the turnover battle against West Virginia.
Vanderbilt, Missouri.
Just from a quick look at the box score, we won that turnover battle 1-0. And it was 40-14. That's something that really jumps out. There's something that really jumps out to you when you pull up the old box score and you immediately see 429 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
Didn't General Nealon once tell us the team that makes the fewest mistakes will win?
He didn't say turnovers. He said mistakes, okay? So play number one, Brandon Kennedy's snap and whatever the hell happened to Garantano on that throw, that was a mistake. It wasn't a turnover, but that was a mistake, okay? But just looking at this box score is crazy to me. Just like right here, just pulling up the Tennessee-West Virginia box score and seeing that Jarrett Garantano only threw that ball 25 times. In a game that you lost 40-14. Just seems like a game where you should maybe have more pass attempts. Now, granted, you might have forgot, Cody, but Tennessee was only down 6 points at halftime. Did you remember that? It wasn't a blowout the entire game.
In the West Virginia game?
Yeah, it was only a 6-point game at halftime. 13-7.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Now, granted, the third quarter happened. The second half, you got outscored 27-7.
Yeah, things just kind of got out of hand, from what I remember. And we showed them what SEC defense is about, though. Really, when you think about it, I mean,
yeah.
Things kind of got out of hand. But you know, we held that team to 40 points, whereas a lot of teams let them score in the 50s.
I mean, they only scored 13 in the first half.
Yeah, a lot of teams let that. You know, they scored over 50 in some of their games. So.
Now, granted, on one of those possessions, we had like 10 men on the field, and they hit like a Will Greer threw it in like triple coverage instead of hit a wide open guy for a touchdown. I do remember that happening.
Yeah. Well, that stuff like that's never going to happen again because, you know, we know now.
Well, that is something that better not happen again in terms of.
We know you got to have 11. At the time, you know, it's first year coach. I mean, sometimes you don't know exactly how many guys you need on the field.
Like, when you are looking at some stuff that was bad last year, I mean, there were a lot of mistakes like that in terms of not having people lined up properly, not being on the right, not being, I guess, having, this, like you said, the right number of people on there. There was a lot of
first-year coach.
There was a lot of small stuff that was bad. I mean, what game was that where you had 3 procedure penalties punting? Was that the West Virginia game?
Dude, first-year coach. First-year coach. You
what game was that? We lined up 3 times and had somebody too far back in the backfield all 3 times.
You got to give a coach a year to learn the rules of the game.
You say that, but I mean.
He's still learning
the
rules of the game.
I think Cody's got a point. He didn't even know you could challenge.
He's learning the rules. Exactly.
God, I forgot he didn't know he could challenge. And then everyone on the internet that was arguing with me about him challenging.
What coach that comes in to coach a team knows the rules of the game
in
year
one? What was the play he was supposed to challenge?
The man had never been a head coach.
Cam, you got the turnover stats for us? -1. For the whole season? So we lost the turnover battle by 1? Do you have the game-by-game breakdown? No, you're fine. So we lost the turnover battle by 1 in the season. 5-7? I don't know. I don't.
Depending on what the challenge was, might have been even. Who knows?
What was the Florida breakdown? 6 turnovers. Yeah, I was going to say, I knew that. Yeah, you lost that one 6-1. So that one checked out. Maybe that should give you some hope for 2019, though.
That Florida game did get out of hand pretty quickly with the turnovers. If not for those 6 turnovers, I think we would have been in that game.
If not for the one where we were just going down the sideline untouched.
Yeah, can we at least like get – can we get 2 of them back? Can we get the – was it – was it Pope?
Pope is the one. Pope fumbled the touchdown.
Can we get Pope not stripping himself and creating a touchback and the screen pass that Garantano threw like in the first quarter? Can we just get those two back?
Those two were hard to watch.
Those were two of the worst turnovers I've ever seen in my whole entire life.
And they both happened very close together.
It happened in the first half, which is all I need to know because I left after the opening fumble. Can we also get the opening fumble to start the third quarter? Because we got ball first, and we're all like, oh, yeah, remember 2016? Come back, fumble. Okay, hour one in the books. Great trip down memory lane. Hour two on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.